right, what I want to do, though, just as a brief exercise here, is single out three points of educational practice, three strategic points where it forces one to make a choice about what the higher values are and what the lower values are. First one I'm going to single out is the issue of hiring teachers. And so we'll do a little thought experiment here. Suppose you you had an unlimited budget. Wouldn't that be great? And you're starting your own school, and so you're the principal or the superintendent of the school, and so you're just going to hire however many teachers, and you can hire whomever you want, and the resumes start to come pouring in. All right, so you start sorting through all of the resumes. I'm interested in these ones, not so interested in these ones. Which ones are you going to be interested in? What are you going to be looking for? And the claim I'll make is if any one of these is a top value for you, you're going to be looking for very different things. Now, of course, chances are good you want to have your teachers have some of these traits and be able to teach all of these traits, but in most cases, you're not going to get all of them to the maximal degree, and in most cases, you're going to say, this is more important than that, and so I'm going to hire this person instead of that person. All right, so for example, suppose you're hiring and you start going through resumes and you're a knowledge person. You think the most important thing is we need to have teachers who know an awful lot of stuff so they're in a position to communicate all of that stuff to students at the appropriate kind of time. So I want someone who's always going to win at Trivial Pursuit, for example, just is a walking encyclopedia, right, kind of person. All right, so I'm exaggerating to make the point that knowledge is your top value here. Now, what are you then going to look for on the resumes or the curriculum vitaes as they come in? Well, you will of course look at the student's transcript from their high school courses, from their college courses that they'll have taken. But what you'll be looking for is the person having done well in courses that have a great deal of content. So you'll want them to have taken lots of history courses, lots of science courses in physics and biology and chemistry. You'll want them to know the American politics if you're setting up a school in American situation, so that they can teach civics, right, and so forth. You'll want them to know economics and all of the major works of literature and art history, right, and so forth. So you'll be looking for content courses primarily, and how well the student did on those. And those things will be proxies for how much knowledge, in their judgment, those people actually have. Now, by contrast, if you're a method person, the kinds of things that you'll be looking for on the person's resume will be a different set of courses. You will be looking for, has this person taken rhetoric courses and grammar courses and composition courses and mathematics courses and critical thinking and problem-solving types of courses? Anything that is an abstraction on any particular content of knowledge, but shows that this person has thinking skills, reasoning skills, communication skills, all of the methodology, right, that's important in life. So if the person got an A in math and an A in logic and an A in critical thinking, but only got a B in American history, well, that might not be so bad. By contrast, if you're a knowledge person, the person's having gotten a B in logic and an A in American history, well, that might not be so bad either. Okay, suppose you're interested in skills. Well, then the kinds of things that you're going to be interested in won't be so much theoretical knowledge courses or theoretical method courses. You'll be looking at, has the person taken, say, a lot of lab courses, right, as opposed to theory courses? Has the person taken a certain number of internships? Does the person have work experience, and so forth? Anything that will indicate that the person has knowledge how to do things and is handy and knows how actually to get things done. Those are the things that you'll be looking for on the resume. All right, suppose we're an individuality person. Now, what we want is a kind of teacher who can cultivate in students their own individuality, to encourage them to pursue their dreams, to be creative and experimental, and all of the things that individuals prize. Well, what we might not then be very interested in is a resume of someone who went to high school, got good grades, and immediately went on to college, got good grades, then went and got the teaching certificate, got good grades, and was kind of a model student, but is kind of a textbook person, or someone who comes in for a resume and is wearing a three-piece suit because that's what you're supposed to wear when you go for a an interview if you're a male, right, in our particular culture. By contrast, suppose you got the following kind of resume. You got someone who got middling grades through high school and maybe even dropped out of high school and got a job for a while, traveled around the country for a bit, came back, got their high school equivalency diploma, went off to college for a few years but dropped out, started a business, but the business failed, they started another business, that business succeeded, they made a significant amount of money, say by the time that they were 30, they sold that business off, traveled the world, and then decided, hey, I would really like to be a teacher when got this teaching certificate and is now applying to your school. Well, I think if you're an advocate of individuality, that kind of person would be very attractive to you, because here you've got someone who is very experimental, who does try lots of things, who does fail but bounces back from failure and try and learns from the failure and then goes on to success and so forth. And maybe this person, when he or she shows up for the interview, isn't wearing the three-piece suit, is wearing something that's a little more outlandish, but that then is an indication that you're dealing with someone who is much more independent and so forth, and that might then be a kind of person who's appropriate for being a teacher. Okay, suppose by contrast then that socialization, right, is your number one thing. Well, what will you be looking for? Obviously, you'll be looking for coursework and actual experience that involves all of those skills. So did the person take courses, say, in sociology or the study of different cultures and their different practices? Was the person in student government in high school? Was he or she on the yearbook team? Anything that indicates a serious engagement with the social side of life and the study of social sorts of things, that would then be a kind of prospective teacher who would be attractive to you. All right, suppose we move on to morality. Right? What are we going to be looking for here? Well, you know, it might be the case that the person's a straight A student in all kinds of knowledge disciplines, that is very skilled, has his or her own mind, lots of diplomatic skills, is a whiz at problem solving. But it's possible to have all of those things and not particularly to be admirable morally speaking, right? It's possible to be a schmoozer right here. It's possible to be a fake individual. Right, it's possible to be very skilled at manipulating people and getting out of work, right, and so forth. It's possible to have lots of knowledge and method, but apply those things in unscrupulous ways. So if we're interested primarily in morality, what we're going to be looking for are signs that the person has a strong moral character, and the coursework that they've had, and perhaps even the work experience they have, those are not going to be good proxies for that. So what we might then do if we are the principal hiring new teachers interested in morality is not pay very much attention to the student's transcript and so forth. Instead, we will look at the person's references, and we'll take the references very seriously. Instead of saying, as a standard with your job application, include two or three references, we'll ask for six references or eight references, and we won't just look at them and say, well, they look pretty good. We'll actually call up all of the references, and we'll have extended conversations with people who actually knew the person, and we'll ask fairly probing questions. Is this person a person of integrity, right, perseverance, right, honesty, and all of the traits that we're looking for? And that will be the thing that will be important to us. So whether the person got straight A's, right, in various courses, has good work experiences, is a unique individual, we might be able to trade off or be willing to trade off on all of those things if we're sure that we're getting someone of strong, staunch, dependable moral character who can be the proper kind of role model for our students. Okay, that's one set of examples how differing value priorities on these here will lead to the hiring of very different kinds of teachers.